It's time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports, and by the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower-carbon energy future. Jamie Harvey of Bagot Duluth joins us on the phone this morning. Jamie, I never thought we were going to have this conversation. First of all, I didn't imagine that it would happen when I sounded like a frog. And then I never imagined that the city council would actually take action on this ordinance. I thought it was due to be tabled forever.
Well, it did sit on the table for quite a long time, but we're excited and grateful that finally we were able to have the conversation and have a vote, and even more gratified that there is support, majority support by City Council to move the ordinance forward. So it's tremendously exciting, that's for sure.
I heard the ordinance referenced yesterday. I was at the grocery store getting junk food and cough drops, and I heard a lady say behind me, "No, I don't need a bag. I brought my own." She said, "When it's going to cost me money, I'll bring my own," or something along that line, you know, or if it's going to cost me, you've got my attention, or whatever it was. And that reminded me of something that you had mentioned in conversation with us once before, that people had tried the carrot approach to getting folks to say no to plastic bags, but in this particular instance, the stick seems to work better than the carrot.
Right. So again, as counselor, well, we brought this up numerous times on the call, so thanks for bringing it up again, Lisa. And Counselor Westerlund did a wonderful job at City Council on Monday night, reminding people that the purpose of the ordinance is really to, I think her words were, vex us just a little bit. I really love that, vex us.
Oh yes.
And so it's that little, it's not a stick really, right? It's just like a little.
It's a vexation to the spirit.
Exactly. It's just sort of a little something that niggles at you, and that's really why it works. We for 25 years we've been trying to educate ourselves. And spending hundreds and thousands of dollars a year, quite literally, providing education material to citizens around how they should do the three R's, reduce, reuse, or recycle, but nothing's changed, right? And so when we feel a little uncomfortable, we know that we change, and that's why this ordinance works. This fee-based approach, it's the most effective. We've seen it in the UK, we've seen it in Chicago, we've seen it in Washington, D.C., and again and again and again, we see people shifting to reusable bags by up to 90%. And so people don't like it, but if they liked it, if they weren't slightly vexed, in the words of Councillor Westland, we wouldn't change our behaviors. And that's really what's called for.
One of the things that I have been watching on social media, I guess, which is I do spend an amount of time on social media because that's what lonely people do, but it also because this is a great way for me to find out at least what a certain segment of the population is thinking about and concerned about. And I guess I'm a little surprised at how many people in my social circle, even though this has been going on for so long, are still kind of not getting it, and they still seem to think that this is about plastic bags. And I guess perhaps I've been either lucky or cursed with having this conversation with you often enough that I'm aware that it's really not about the bags per se as much as it is about the philosophy behind it, that we've got to start making these little changes because they're the ones that are going to have the big impacts going forward.
Right, absolutely, and thanks for bringing that up, Lisa. Again, I think, so fundamentally, this is about how we change our way of thinking, our way of being, and to see ourselves as more broadly, to see ourselves interconnected in a web of life. And at the core of this, it means having shifting to a culture of reduction and reuse, because we know that nature and living systems do not create waste, right? And so at the core of what we were and continue to advocate for is that philosophy of around interconnectedness and wholeness and using actually what the state of Minnesota, the legislature, says should be our priority, which is the waste hierarchy, which means beginning with reduction, reuse, and then recycling. And so I think people can get confused because they're busy, and there are many other things in their lives that they have to think about or maybe even want to think about than this issue. But when people are talking about bags, most of the times that they're using the bags are plastic bags. So their brain shift to the frame that's been provided to them, which is about plastics. But this is not only about plastics, of course. It's about climate change. We're putting so much embodied energy from the bags, paper, or plastic into the landfill. None of this makes sense. So it's a climate issue. It's a justice issue. We know where these plastic production facilities are located are always in communities, low-income communities, and people of color. So if we see that this issue is so what we're hoping to get is to get people to see that this is bigger than just a plastics issue, that it's connected to so many things.
I don't know whether you heard this, but I heard the most fascinating conversation a while back on the radio about how it was actually big corporations that started to say, oh, we've got this great idea. Instead of the glass and the reusable containers that we've been providing people, for example, their milk and their soda pop and whatever in, we're going to start putting stuff in plastic and paper and stuff that people can throw away. And then when litter became a huge problem, it was actually a conglomerate of these big corporations that got together and created the Keep America Beautiful campaign with the Weeping Indian and the whole bit. But their evil plan was to shift the responsibility for all of this litter onto people and say, it's your problem now. You have to keep things clean. You have to recycle. You have to whatever. So that they could continue to keep making money hand over fist by packaging everything in this throwaway stuff.
I don't know if there's a question there, but yes.
I guess the question would be, how do we also, if that's the case, we've been shined on for 40 or 50 years, and how do we, can we, as a society, stand up and say, hey, stop it.
Right. No, so I think at the core of your question is, or really statement is that you're illuminating that this is a big systemic issue. It's a structural issue, and it's founded on this notion, right, that we can throw things away and somehow they disappear. And it's worked well for the companies that are making these disposable products or packaging their products in. And in many ways, it's made our lives in the short term very easy. We can just have our cup of coffee or our pop or whatever, throw it out. But now it's all hidden the storm, right? We're hidden the storm because we don't live on an infinite planet. And our resources are running out, and suddenly we've filled our air with carbon. Our oceans are filled with plastic. Every pore on this planet is filled with poisons. And suddenly we're realizing that we're not on an infinite planet and that we're intimately connected with all life. So we're having to rethink what and how we do things. And so, again, it brings us back to how do we think and see ourselves as human beings in the web of life. And so when we do and see ourselves as interconnected, we have to start thinking more broadly about our relationship with one another and as human beings and all living creatures. And so it requires a fundamental mindset, a different way of seeing about the world. And so I think that is why this issue has felt so hard and so long for those of us who have been advocating for this bag fee, because it's not just about the fee or the ordinance. What it starts and tickles people with is about saying, can we see ourselves differently? Can we behave and work differently with one another? And so some people have said over the last day or two, what a tremendous victory. And I'd offer that it feels good to have this issue behind us, but this is a tiny step in the work that we need to be doing. And that's really the challenge ahead of us. When yesterday we saw a climate change report that said we are not making any difference. In fact, our emissions of carbon are even getting worse. And so the work that we all have to do together, government, citizens, business, is to reshift our approach and our relationship to our planets and ourselves. And our hope is that through this ordinance, we can start making and having people engage in the conversation about what's needed and how we do this.
Jamie, remind people one more time where the money goes. When you have to pay for your plastic bag because you bought all kinds of frozen stuff and you forgot, where does the money go when you have to pay for the plastic bag?
Right. So to be clear, it is not a tax. Did I say it's not a tax? It just goes back to the retailers. And so then the retailers can reduce the cost of groceries, pay their employees more. They can buy reusable bags for their customers. They can do whatever they want. And so it stays with the retailers. So there's no impact on business. Nothing's being taken from them. And what we've seen across the country is that many retailers have donated these monies that they receive, and again, it's to low-income organizations, to environmental organizations, and I think many of our bigger businesses in town will likely do the same. We have good corporate citizens, but again, it's not as though they create piles, big piles of gold that they sit and decide what to do with it. The whole what happens is people don't want to pay that 5 cents fee, so they move to reusable. So if they do make some money, it's actually not a whole lot.
And in theory, it would start at the beginning when people are forgetting, and then it would diminish over time. Okay, so
exactly.
the other option is you're in line at the grocery store, and somebody's complaining about this idea. Now, a person has a couple of options. One of them would be to turn and try to put it into a broader context. One would be to launch into song, The Circle of Life. I'm thinking that today might not be that day for me, but it's not out of the question somewhere along the line. What would you say, just to be brief and to be friendly to a person who's standing behind you in line and who's kind of grumbling about it? What would you say to them?
I don't think it's my role to tell people or share what or how they should do. I think at a minimum, what I could say, but only really if asked, is that what I might do is say to the cashier, "This is so great. I really love this ordinance. We're protecting our lake, but it's not my job to help inform people or tell them what to do or provide them education unless they ask, right? And I think sometimes that's where we get into trouble. People have to come to this in their own way, but if we become preachy, I think it works to our detriment because I believe it makes there's a potential for us to lose our humility in this, and so I'd just be cautious. It's not our job to help inform people unless they ask. But I would say to the cashier, I could, if I overheard somebody behind me complaining, I might say, "This is such a great thing for the lake, or for ourselves, or for our planet."
I really appreciate the idea of saying, because I think everybody's annoyed by the person who's a know-it-all and has, you know, the what do they call it now, virtue signaling, you know, and blah, blah, blah about it. I still think you might want to think about bursting into song, though. I think that there's a lot of, I mean, that wasn't going to make anybody feel bad. I think there's a lot of potential there.
It depends if they're suffering from a terrible cold or not as well.
Well, exactly. I think that if Nat was with you, the musical quality of the whole thing would go right through the roof. I'm just saying.
Yep, Nat and the Nat Harvey Trio have some beautiful music, but it's not something that I've given him them genetically. So.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Jamie, thank you so, so much for joining us this morning. It was a great treat to talk with you, even if it wasn't so much of a treat on your end. But I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to more conversations about this as we wade through the quagmire that our current life has become. Thanks so much.
I always appreciate the time that you provide to really dig into an issue. And so thank you, Lisa, and thank you, KUMD, your incredible, vital service to this community. So thanks again.
Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.